Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, "Now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night."
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, we have been talking about culture. We've been talking about going to all these great destinations and having these great experiences that are authentic. And in the last segment, we talked also about mindfulness. And one of the ways that you can definitely have all of these great experiences is over a meal. So I had a chance to talk with Doc Beal, who is a person I go to all the time when I want to talk about culture and food maps, where foods originated from, all of those kinds of topics. So I finally had a chance to nail him down and ask him a couple of questions, and I want to share those with you now. So here's my conversation with Doc Beal. Doc Beal, I have been wanting to ask you this question about food and culture, because when you talk about culture and you talk about food, obviously those two things definitely go together. But the culture itself is not really in the food. It's really more about the location of where that food is grown and where that food is eaten and the way people eat and celebrate even the foods. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
When you think of food, food is basically what people eat to survive. It provides nutrition, what allows to sustain us. And people eat what's in their immediate area. If you go back historically and look where people came from and you look at parts of Africa, particularly the east part of Africa where the first tribes and stuff came, we were basically hunter-gatherers. People ate what was there. They found what they could hunt, which was game. They found small animals, and they also found insects, and that made the bulk of their diet. This was supplemented with roots and whatever fruit they could find. And trying to hunt these animals, find them down from this developed a ritual, a way of hunting them, how to prepare them, how to eat them. As people moved from different parts of Africa to other parts of the world, area in which they were in changed, and the food they could find changed. And again, the rituals changed as well to prepare the food, to thank people, to thank the deities for bringing them the food. And eventually we developed into agricultural societies with principal products. And from these principal products, if you're in Africa, it would be, for instance, rice, sorghum, or millet. If you're in the middle area of the Middle East, it would be wheat, rye, or barley. And you get to the Americas. Americas is a culture built on corn. And from these, people developed rituals to give thanks for the food that they ate. And from that, what we call an interaction of people with their primary food product, which we would look at that from the outside now and call that culture.
So once then also too, people started migrating, they would take those food products that they had in their homeland with them as they traveled as well.
They would, and they would also take the rituals and stuff, how to prepare the food and keep the food. And this worked pretty well till you got to certain places where those foods wouldn't grow. And then people would then, if there were newer people in those areas, they would adapt their cultures, or they would try to take some of their old cultures and utilize it with that. But again, there's an interaction that occurs between people and the food. And the food also affects the people as well. So those two interact with each other. And that gives you what we would look at today as saying a particular food cultural way of preparing food. In the agricultural societies, these was associated with a deity, whether it was a female deity or a male deity. Most likely were female deities when you got to your type of grain products. When you deal with hunter-gatherer societies, these are usually male deities. And you see this throughout the world when you got cultures that are hunter-gatherer societies. And in other places where the food is on the coast would be like salmon, someplace on the northwest. Again, there's a whole culture devoted towards salmon, when to catch it. And most of these cultural rituals basically designed to have people get in rhythm with nature, not to fight nature. You basically learn that if you're in rhythm with nature or you yield or work with nature, nature yields its bounties. And this is the same in the agricultural world as it is in the hunter-gatherer or societies, which devote a lot of the things from gathering protein from the water or getting protein from the land.
These days now, I mean, when people travel, we want to go and we want to experience the local foods. And there may be something that we eat at home, but it is prepared quite differently in other places. So we consider that to also be a cultural way, or a way to experience the culture in that destination where we're going. So for instance, rice. I mean, people eat rice all over the world, but it's eaten and prepared differently in different destinations.
It is. If you look at rice cultures, there are two primary areas where rice originated from. It originated in West Africa, and there's a whole rice culture associated with that. And then you also have rice that developed in India and moved from India over to China and over to Japan and Korea. And there's a whole culture associated with that. But in all these cultures, the rice cultures, rice is eaten every day. Whereas we eat rice in the United States, we don't necessarily eat rice every day. But in these cultures in which it's a primary rice culture, the rice is eaten every day. There are some similarities to where it's fixed. But again, what the rice is fixed with or served with is a bit different in those areas.
And maybe the way that it is viewed.
It is. And if you have, let's say, are from a region where there's a primary food source, and then you move to a region where there, where that primary food source isn't there, in a sense, you are indeed affected. If you're from a culture that basically grew up on, let's say, a dairy product, and then you move to a part of the world where there is no dairy, you know, you sort of miss and want to have that. But if you're in a culture that's primarily a non-dairy culture, and then you try to eat the foods that have in it a lot of dairy, you'll get allergies and reactions to that. So you, in a sense, the biology also works in play too. Not only are these cultural restrictions there by chance, some of these dietary things can interplay, because if you're not exposed to it, or you don't have the genes to handle a particular food product, there can be food allergies coming out of this. And these are things that people consider when people talk about celiac disease, or people talk about diseases with being with milk intolerance. These are things that are not just things that we may want to change diet-wise because of cultural. These are things that are biologically, we've eaten foods and have gotten used to certain foods, and our genes have adapted to certain foods, and that also affects the cultural aspect of food.
And dairy definitely is one of those where you see that. But now, a lot of times when we travel, we do want to sit down and have a meal. And that is one of the best ways to connect with other cultures and really see that there are really more similarities than there are differences between us. A lot of those barriers come down.
Well, we're sharing, when you eat the food of people, you're sharing their culture. And when you share their culture, you're getting their history. And you're actually, for instance, if you eat, let's say, a rice dish, that rice dish can go back for thousands of years in that society. So it's not only that you're eating and having that experience, you're actually experiencing thousands of years with that group of people and how they've had that food and how they prepared it. And that's why people have a very strong connection when they share their food with you. At the same time, you also have to be aware that, you know, when you try certain foods, sometimes it's best to try a small amount of it first to see if there's going to be any reaction, particularly if it's something you've never had before. You know, so these are things to take into account. And also, you could have something that you've had before, but it can be prepared in such a totally different way. You may seem foreign to you, or you may have something else in it that you're not used to. But again, it's the same crop, or it's the same food they're eating. You can see how the influence of one area has basically affected how that dish is prepared and how the people treat or eat the food, whether the food is used primarily as a main source of food or whether the food is used as a spice. All these things can come into play when you look at the culture and how the dish or the primary foods people have moved with them and how they treat them over time.
It is very important to be mindful also too in your response to something that may appear to be really different, because that food really is something that is closely connected to the people and the place.
It is. And also keep in mind, these people are aware, particularly you go to certain places that are very exotic. Let's say when you go to Japan, and you may run across things that you're familiar with, but preserved in a totally different way. For example, sushi. Some people have problems with the smell or the texture of certain food products. But they're aware of that as well. They know that their culture can be different from yours, and and you're not the first foreigner to visit them. And so they would like you to try it. They also would like you maybe to try small amounts of it as well. They're aware of that, you know. And at the same time, they've also known that people who've tried their foods over time eventually like them. Likewise, you may have certain foods that you look at that are really, really great. And I love this. For instance, if you look at sodas, I love root beer or Dr. Pepper. But in some Asian cultures, they just can't stand the flavor of that taste. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, things go both ways. Something that you like and think is incredible, they may look at and say it's one of the worst things I've ever tasted.
That's absolutely true. But I think we both would agree, though, that it is a great way to experience different cultures and to connect with people when you are traveling, is to try their foods.
It is. And it's probably one of the primary ways when you go to different cultures to try their foods, try their fruit. There'll be things that are there that are just stick with your mind and your memory. Food and smell are, you know, they wire directly to the brain.
And when you
go and heart. And when you go to other places, you will find that some of the best memories you have of places are the foods you ate. That's one of the things that will motivate you to go to places, because they have this great dish or this great fruit. Or, you know, the way that they prepared that dish was totally different than what you're used to. And those, you know, will build great memories and experiences when you think about those distant locations.
Wow, that was a great conversation with Doc Beal, and I had to stop it because I was running out of time. So I will have to have him come back on and really do a little bit more of an extensive conversation about food, food maps, and where food originated and how we associate it really with culture. Now, this has been a great show today for me. I've really learned a lot myself, and I hope you guys have too. So thank you so much for listening. Hey, check us out on our website as well, travelbagswithanita.com, as well as social media. On Instagram, that would be Anita and Friends. Anita, my name, A-N-N-I-T-A, the letter N, and then Friends. Today's show is brought to you by the Sapelo Island Beach Vacations. Check out their website at sapeloislandbeachvacations.com. See you guys on the next show. Bye-bye.